23. We hadn't sang that in a while. I hope I can remember it. How many know this? Does everybody know it? Some of us know it?
Meekness and majesty.
Streaming for the first time, and y'all start picking ones we hadn't sung in years. What? So another one. I kind of wanted to shine being the first night we're live streaming. They can hear us, and y'all are singing picking ones we do once a year. No, she wanted, what was it? 36. We'll do it. Yeah. 23? Okay. And then the next one is going to be one that we normally sing. Okay?
Lord, you are more precious than silver.
More normal than that, do we? 41, isn't he wonderful?
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord?
Okay. All right. Today is September the 3rd, 2013. And I guess the only announcement I have is that we're going to be starting the Star Series this Sunday. And hope some of you will bring with you some folks that really might not know too much about the Bible. I can assure you they're going to find the message interesting and it will introduce them to God and they don't have to feel like they're left behind because they don't know much about the Bible. So, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer and the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and that you are in control of all things. And we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret. We know, we have epinosis knowledge of what's going to happen in the future, that eschatology that you have revealed to us that gives us courage and confidence. We pray that you will help us to focus on your mighty word this evening. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. If you'll turn in your turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Or you can look up here on the board and follow there. Maybe. There it is. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, and here's what we're going to cover tonight, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We won't get to the saints in light, but we're going to drop down here to where we're beginning tonight. We have these two phrases, one from the New American Standard Bible, and the other one is from the New King James Bible. New American Standard, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. And the New King James is, who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance. I've changed this next paragraph a little bit from last, I guess it was Thursday night. God the Father has qualified us for heaven through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Father planned our salvation. Christ executed the plan. And the Holy Spirit reveals the plan. All three members were instrumental in our so great salvation. God has also prepared a magnificent inheritance for us in heaven. So we're talking about two separate things. God has qualified every believer to go to heaven from the moment that we believe in Jesus Christ. He does at least 40 things or more that are immutable. They are unconditional. He's responsible for that. But He has also prepared a magnificent inheritance for us in heaven. It's already prepared. It's already there. And it is God's grace and power that qualifies or enables us to partake of our inheritance. Now, we've gone over this before, but just by way of reminder. In eternity past, God knew you, He knew me, He knew everything about us, everything that would ever happen in His foreknowledge. And He knew that we were going to accept the gospel. And so, in eternity past, He had already created an inheritance for us. Sometimes we refer to it as escrow blessings. It is super grace blessings that He put in escrow. In other words, they are already there. He doesn't have to prepare anything for us once we have been faithful and endured to the end. The package is already there. So, the package is already there. And if we want it, we can have it. Is that good news? If you want it, any believer that is hearing this can fully comprehend the fact that if you want the inheritance that God has prepared for you in eternity past, specialized, customized, just for you, then you can have it. And I bet y'all are waiting and thinking, okay, that's the good news. What's the bad news? Isn't that what we are inclined to think these days? Well, really, there is no bad news. In fact, there's more good news. If we want it, we can have it, but only through His gracious provision. You can't work for it. You can't go out there and hustle. You can't compete with other believers. You can't do it your way. You have to do it God's way. And His faithful provision is all the grace that He affords you and I in order to endure to the end, to produce those good works, to suffer with Christ. Everything that is necessary, He enables us to do that. And it just shows how wonderful and great our God is. We can't accomplish this on our own, not even close to it. But He is so gracious that He enables us to do it. We do it through Him, and yet He still is going to give us that package, all these rewards and decorations and privileges and so forth, even though He is the one that enables us to do it. Isn't that a great deal? Then I've given you some verses. This is still by way of review. I'm trying to bring us up to speed here. Now here's one in John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And once you understand that, that helps you move along out of just the grace orientation into further more meaty doctrines. But you have to be grace oriented. The fact that you know that these are available is good news. But to recognize that God is going to enable you to endure to the end is even better news. And that we don't have to work from our own power, nor from our own talents or anything else. You can't do it that way. We're talking about the spiritual life. And God empowers us to do that. That was all preparatory work for us to start. Now, this is where our Colossians, this is lesson 21. And we're going to get into some things that are just so wonderful. And some of you have already... you've already learned what I'm about to teach. And some of you are in the process of learning it. And some of you may have an idea about what it is, but you're not too sure. In any case, this is going to be edifying for all of us and such wonderful news. All believers are fit for heaven. But not all are fit or qualified to receive an inheritance in heaven. Remember, we're talking about God who has qualified us. Go right back up here and show it to you. Here's what we're covering. It is God who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. What inheritance and how do we share in it? What is this about? First of all believers are fit. They're qualified to go to heaven. Why is that? Well, two of the irrevocable things that occur at the moment of salvation is God imputes to you eternal life based on faith. And eternal life can't be less than what it is, which is eternal. And He also imputes to us His own righteousness. And in Romans chapter 11, it says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And all this comes as a gift. We don't earn it or deserve it. So all believers are fit for heaven. They have eternal life. If you're going to live with God, you've got to be able to live past this little paltry 60 and 10 years or more that we have here on earth. You have to live eternally, and we already have that. And you have to be as good as God is. And we are already that positionally because we have His righteousness. So that's how everyone is fit for heaven. But not everyone is qualified to receive the inheritance that we were talking about. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Or you can look at it up here as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself, I think we went over this last time a bit, and I said, remember, this is Himself. It's not a force, it's not a thing, it's a person, it's a member of the Godhead. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now look at verse 17 very clearly. And if children, and this is a first class conditional clause, this if. It means if, and you are children. And if you are children, and you are, then you are heirs also. Heirs of God. I want you to put a little one up in the superscript there. Put a little one there. Heirs of God. And then when it says fellow heirs, I want you to put a little superscript two there. If you're children and you are, then you are, you could even say automatically, you are heirs of God. And I'm going to show you that to become an heir of God, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And you become an inheritor in that sense. You are an heir of God. It's automatic. And fellow heirs with Christ. But now what do we have? We have an if. if, there's a condition here. You are heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. What I'm trying to show you is that there are two types of inheritances in this verse. Two types. The first type we'll go over right here. You see point number one. All believers become heirs of God when they believe the gospel. Why? Well, that verse said, if you are a child of God, if you're children of God, and you are, then you are heirs of God. No conditions. If you're a child of God, then you're an heir. And what do you have to do to be a child of God? In fact, there's only one thing you can do, and that's accept the gospel. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, boom, you're born again, and now you are royal family of the Most High. That's all that you need to have in order to have this first type of inheritance. It requires no works. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, you have another verse that substantiates that as well. There's several verses, but I thought one might be enough. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, because you are sons, same type of thing, you're a son or you're a child of God, God has sent forth His Spirit, sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, here's the only condition, if you're a son and you are a son through faith in Christ, then an heir through God. So if you are a believer, then you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you already received this first type of inheritance. All believers are inheritors in that sense. No works involved. It includes all believers. But then the second one is different. Not all believers are fellow heirs with Christ. That is only a potential. It requires the production of good works and enduring suffering until the end of one's life. And there aren't many that fit those qualifications. But it's the potential for how many believers? How many believers have the potential of becoming fellow heirs with Christ? All of them, right? Yeah. And so that tells me that there's going to be a lot of believers at the judgment seat of Christ who are going to be sweating bullets. They're going to be very uncomfortable because they could have had that stupendous, wonderful inheritance that we're going to see even more about in a moment with the verses that is already set aside in heaven. It's already there. And they could have had it, but they didn't want it. Either they didn't want it or they wanted to get it their way and not God's way. Now let me ask you another question. Can you be a fellow heir with Christ and be a negative believer? A believer that doesn't have much doctrine, can you be an heir of Christ then? You're right. No, there's no way you can be an heir or an inheritor, fellow heir with Christ. Because what did I say? It takes production of good works and enduring suffering till the end of one's life. And that eliminates so many. And here's a few verses that will help you understand this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. This is in our same book, in our same epistle, Colossians. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. I don't know who your employer is if you're working, but if you're a Christian, your real employer is God Himself. That's who we work for. We are His ambassadors, and your work habits and your attitude and your loyalty and your honesty, all these things reflect on Jesus Christ because you are an ambassador of God and you work in order to please God, not other men, not even your boss. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. So what is this thing? Whatever you do, work heartily. And I want you to look. Work heartily is connected with the will receive the reward of the inheritance. There's the good works that are necessary. If you are working as unto the Lord, and you consistently do that, that's one of the elements that is required for you to receive a reward of the inheritance. Now, let me ask you this, see if you're getting it. The first type of inheritance that we were talking about that you received when you believed in Jesus Christ, is that a reward or is that a gift? It's a gift. How do you know? Because you don't have to work for it. All you did was believe. Non-meritorious faith in Christ, and boom, you're already an inheritor, an heir of God. So we know that this can't be talking about the first type of inheritance we looked at because it's a reward. And it's linked to working heartily. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Now, what do you suppose that word there for hope is? Elpis. And it's talking about confidence. He's saying that you should show diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope. Now, you have full assurance and hope. It's like saying having full assurance and confidence. That's like a double whammy. Of knowing. But you have to hold it, how long? Until the end. Till the end of what? Till the end of this week? It's talking about a lifetime here. You have to have that diligence. And see, a lot of believers try to keep that diligence up by continuing to have their emotions stimulated, and when they are all emotional, they think, I'm really spiritual tonight. I feel so close to God, and I feel all the warmth, and some people have described it as a burning in the bosom and all these things. Is that how we realize the full assurance of hope until the end? No, we know that emotions are very, they're up and they're down. They're relative. I'll start to say when the relatives come, you get emotional. That could be, emotions are a two-edged sword, aren't they? It could be emotional glad or emotional not so glad. Okay, now verse 12 is where we really get into it. So that you will not be sluggish. If you're not sluggish, it means that you are alert and you are producing good works. Your spiritual momentum is moving you forward because you're consistently taking in the Word. So that you will not be sluggish, like some are, but imitators of those who through faith and patience do what? Inherit the promises. Inherit the promises. So, God has promised those who are not sluggish, but imitate those who through... It takes what? Faith and patience. A lot of people think that faith is just an issue and it is really only related to eternal salvation. You have to have faith to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And we know that. But there are so many people that think, well, that's it. That's all you have to do. There's nothing left after that. You try to live by the Ten Commandments, be as good as you can, and that's about the Christian way of life. They don't realize that we continue to live by what? Live by faith, not by sight. And when we read and we meditate on and we go over the promises of God of all the great things that He has for us in the future, and we mix those promises with our faith, with that confidence that this is true, when we do that, and you have to have patience as well. You can't come to church every other Sunday and get all jazzed up with emotions and it like they do at some places. You have to continue to grind it out, just like you're doing tonight. You know, what we're doing tonight, what we've done so far up to now, Most people, if they thought they could get away with it, if they were visiting, they would already be headed for the doors. If they could get down on all fours and crawl out all the way out the side door over here and think they could get by with it, they would do it. Why? Because this isn't stimulating. I mean, you have to concentrate. And we're taking doctrine from here and doctrine from over here, and we're putting them together so we can synthesize in our own soul what God is trying to reveal to us. But when we leave, we're going to have something. You will have eaten a spiritual meal that's going to be very fulfilling. And then the things that you learn here that are not all so stimulating are the very things that when you get out into the daily grind is going to see you through those hard times. It's going to keep you from just drifting away or getting distracted because you realize that God has a package with your name on it. I dare say if someone came to you and said, we've got a package at the post office so big we can't bring it to you. I mean, it's huge. When the truck came in, your package took the whole 18-wheeler. And it's there for you. It's heavy and it's big. Are you going to just say, well, I'll come look at it when I get time? Is that what you're going to do? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll get there this weekend maybe. Is that what you're going to say? No, you're going to make a beeline. You want to know what it is. What about this package? You can't claim that you don't know about it anymore. There is a package. And it makes that big package in that 18-wheeler waiting for you at the post office look like nothing. It's Mickey Mouse compared to a package that God has offered us. But it takes faith. You've got to keep on reassuring yourselves through the doctrine that's in your soul that it's worth it. It's worth it for you not to cave in to your lust. It's worth it for you not to be distracted and say, well, this is really important over here. I won't get any doctrine tonight. I'll pick it up on somewhere else. And that's a slippery slope. Over the long haul, it takes patience. And if you don't see it in your mind's eye, if you don't have the how can you have confidence about something that you don't even know what it is? And that's where most believers are today. They're not looking forward to the great promises that God has given them. They're not anxious about receiving that super grace package with their name on it because they don't even know it exists. But that's not describing us, is it? How often do you think about your package? I'm married to somebody that tells me nearly every day something about what she's anxious to see. About her mansion. I don't know, maybe it's a female thing, I don't know. But I don't worry whether my mansion has curtains or... I hope it has windows. But you know, that's a good thing. And it lifts your spirit to think about that. And as we go over these things that we're talking about in inheritance, I can't even start to explain how wonderful what your inheritance is. The Bible says it's more than we can even think or imagine. It's that wonderful. And as you go through the bumps and lumps of this life, and your mind just gets off of the grind, and you just kind of go in your mind, can't wait till I see what the Lord has prepared for me, specifically for me. He knows what it takes more than you know about what's going to make you the happiest, what is going to fulfill you more than anything. It's already ready for you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. You see how the Bible keeps emphasizing this confidence? Do you know what you have to have in order to have confidence? knowledge. Isn't it great that you don't fit into the same category with so many believers and you ask them about this, you ask them about this, you ask them about what's going on in the world. What do you think about this doctrine? What do you think about this couple over here shacking up? What do you think about this guy over here? He just came out of the closet. And so many of them say, well, I don't know. I don't have an opinion. Don't have an opinion. Isn't it great to be able to just dogmatically have an opinion on all of these things and back it up with the Word? Boy, we ought to be the most dogmatic people in the world. Now, we don't want to be uppity and snobbery and all that. Rather think we're better than anybody else. But as far as how we express ourselves, people ought to say, well, those people, they either know a whole lot of things or they're just a bunch of smart alecks over there. They think they know everything. Well, we don't know everything, but don't we know what's really important in life? Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now, this verse is connecting the confidence you have in the promises of God about your inheritance that's waiting for you. He says, don't throw it away. Why? Because it has a great reward. How confident are you about the things that you have learned in the Word of God? How much confidence do you have? You can tell a lot from a person if you ask them. If you don't know someone and you might get on the subject of what's going to happen to you after you die, you talk about heaven, and this is a believer, supposedly, and they say, well, I hope I go to heaven. That should be the most dogmatic thing you can possibly say. Every time I hear someone ask someone else that question, I think about how I would answer it. And y'all know how I've answered in the past. I don't think I'm going to tell it tonight. But I tell them with great emphasis, you're blank right that I'm going to heaven. And why? Because I have that kind of confidence, not in me, but in God's Word and what He's already said. Every believer should have that kind of confidence. I assume that every one of you have that kind of confidence. You should. For you have need of endurance. So we have confidence, reward, and endurance. It takes endurance. So when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. A lot of people look at this verse and they think, oh, well, the promise is heaven. Well, they already have heaven. They're believers. What is it that's promised? Rewards, decorations, crowns, privileges, all these wonderful things that God has promised to those who what? We'll see in a moment. Those who love Him. And if you don't know Him, if you don't know His Word, then you can't love Him. And you can forget about those rewards, decorations, and crowns. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to who? Those who love Him. And I don't care how sincere a believer may be or how vociferous they are in declaring that they love Jesus, if they don't know His Word, then it's just not so. You cannot love someone that you don't know. And we know our Lord through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. So what I'm showing you here, let's go back just a moment, backtrack. There are two types of inheritances in verse 17. And if children, you're heirs also, heirs of God, because of virtue you're a child, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Two words that you see in this verse I'm going to emphasize in the following verses I'm about to show you. And that is suffer and glory, or glorified. Those two, you'd be surprised how often they show up. And we've gone through these verses here. The key to obtaining this future inheritance is to fix one's attention on the glories of this future age and live one's life in the present in hopes of hearing the Master's "Well done." By the way, what I'm doing is quoting Joseph Dillo from his book Final Destiny. Let me give it to you again. The key to obtaining this future inheritance. See, this is all a future inheritance. You already have the inheritance that comes from believing in Christ. The key to obtaining this future inheritance is to fix one's attention on the glories of this future age and live one's life in the present in the hope and the confidence of hearing the Master's "Well done." You know what he's talking about at the judgment seat of Christ? The Bible says those who have endured till the end and being good servants of Christ will hear, "Well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant." That's what God puts so much emphasis on, faithfulness. And here we are. We have a great group here that are faithful in getting the Word of God and obeying the command to assemble ourselves together. And it's not just assemble ourselves together as a country club, but to learn doctrine. Then he says, Peter exhorts his readers to persevere in trials, avoid being conformed to this world, and live holy lives. If we do this, we will grow in respect to salvation. Oh, listen to that. Grow in respect to salvation. Well, I thought salvation occurred at the point of gospel, when we accept the gospel. Yes, but how many times have we gone over the fact that there is another kind of salvation? In fact, this word salvation, which is soteria in the Greek, is used for both kinds of salvation. There is a salvific salvation that is pertinent to accepting the gospel. But there's another salvation, and this is the way that Joseph Dillo is using here, and that simply means deliverance. Usually it means physical deliverance. And people don't understand that. Not one in 1,000 believers understands that after a person is saved by believing the gospel, even if they believe in eternal security, they don't understand that a believer still needs salvation. Not salvation from heaven, to go to heaven, they already have that, but be delivered from this world, the flesh, and the devil. Be delivered from a useless, wasted life of ignoring God and His Word. That's the salvation. That's the deliverance that every believer needs. And you're either going to get that inheritance or you are not. And if you don't get it, then you're not delivered. Now, I'm just quoting Romans 16 and 17. This is verse 17. To set up where we're going now, is suffering and inheriting. Suffering is linked to inheriting. And I'm going to show you that. And I know it's not good news. You don't like it, do you? Why does it have to be there? I mean, if it was like having fun and inheriting, we'd be all on board of that, wouldn't we? Suffering. Oh, man. But it's not as bad as it seems. So, in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, and fellow heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him. We're not going to get that second kind of inheritance. We are not going to get that escrow blessing package with our name on it if we don't suffer with Him. Now, I'm not talking about any kind of self-effacement. I'm not talking about trying to impress people by you bringing suffering on yourself and try to convince people that you're suffering for Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is if you stand for righteousness today, if you stand for Christ, if you live a life as a good royal ambassador, then you're going to suffer. How can you not in such a decadent world as which we live in? All you have to do is make a dogmatic statement and back it up with the Scripture, and you're a target. You're going to be attacked. We live in a postmodern, relative world, and we're in the middle of enemy territory. Why do we think that we're not going to suffer? Now, remember last time we went over this son, I said you can avoid suffering if you want to. There are certain types of suffering you can avoid. Some of them you can't. A lot of them you can't. If you have a sickness or if you have an accident, these type of things, those things are going to happen. We can't avoid those. But there is a type of suffering that you can choose to avoid. And that's to go through life making it as easy as possible. Don't make waves. Don't ever make a stand for anything, because if you make a stand for something, people are going to, they aren't going to like it. They're going to take the other side, and they're going to attack you, and they're going to talk about you. They take the line of least resistance. And in that way, you can avoid the type of suffering that he's talking about here. Just don't ever make an issue of Christ. Don't ever make an issue of the Word. Don't ever make an issue of doctrine. And don't witness to anybody. Golly, you might be rejected, and that's suffering, isn't it? Some people would just about rather go to the dentist and ask somebody if they would like to accept Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you all about Him. They would rather go to the dentist. Why? Why is that? I mean, we have not only the good news, we have the best news there ever was. And people, oh, well, if I say something, they might not like me anymore. I might not be popular. They might reject me. They might ask me something, and I don't know the answer. Well, they just stand right there and talk themselves right out of it. And you know what? They don't have to worry about suffering. Or do they? There's this little thing called guilt. Yeah. That's a suffering in itself, isn't it? Self-reproach. Okay. Suffering and inheriting. Notice that suffering is linked to inheritance. We just saw it in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. One of the qualifications to be glorified with Christ include receiving rewards and directions. That's what it, and decorations. That's part of being glorified with Christ. Part of the qualification for that is to suffer with Him, or we could even say suffer for Him. Have you ever suffered for Christ? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever stood up, either figuratively or literally, and made a stand for Bible doctrine and truth and righteousness in the Word of God? Have you ever done that? And suffered for it? You know what the Bible says should happen to you if you should do that? It says you should be praised. And blessings are coming your way. Because if you don't, see, you can't do that consistently if you don't think there's anything in it for you. What's in it for me? That's our nature. Why should I be bold? Why should I risk being rejected? Why should I risk people not liking me anymore, talking about me, ostracizing me? Why should I risk it? What's in it for me? What are we talking about? An eternal inheritance. Blessings, this escrow blessings that are so wonderful we can't even imagine how great they are. That's what is in it for us. No one likes to suffer. Some suffering can be avoided. I think we already went over this. Let me drop right here. See, here's where it is right here. Here's the bottom line. Is it worth it? Pastor, you're telling me I should stand out, stick my neck out, and become a target. Why? What's in it for me? Well, let's let the Bible answer that, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? What's in it for us? The little bit of sufferings that we take on here cannot be compared to the glory. Now, see, I haven't read suffering and glory. As we go through these verses, look how many times you'll see that suffering and then glory in the same verse. 1 Peter 3:14. But if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. We don't even have to wait until we get our eternal blessings package in eternity. We're blessed even now while we're here in time. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Remember we went over this last time? Y'all all familiar with the outer man, aren't you? For our momentary, what? Light affliction is producing for us what? Eternal weight of glory. You see again, light affliction, which is the suffering, and look in the same verse. Eternal weight of glory. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure. Endure what? Suffering. But also, if we endure in taking in the Word. If we keep our spiritual momentum going forward. If we are thinking doctrine, applying doctrine. If we continue doing that, we will also what? Reign. Reign with Him. Reign with Christ. Part of our inheritance package. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. I don't want to read it all, but just look at what's in red. But to the degree that you share the sufferings, look down there a little lower, so that also you also at the revelation of His glory, you will rejoice with exultation. All this is linked to the suffering. Verse 14. If you are reviled, what is that? Suffering. For the name of Christ, you are blessed. You see the link of suffering with the glory, suffering linked with blessing? We don't go out trying to bring suffering on ourselves, do we? There's enough of that already. But we have to be ready so when we are standing firm for the faith, which we are commanded to do, that when we suffer for it, we can put it into the proper perspective. When we do that, we're blessed. When we do that, we have this eternal weight of glory that is waiting for us. But you have to believe it. If you halfway believe it, you're going to halfway stand firm for the faith. Look at Romans 8:18. Well, I already did that a while ago. Okay. There should be no fear in the believer's mind concerning suffering because we have the following promise from God for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you don't know this verse, turn to it right now and put a big star by it. Because I'm telling you right now, and I've told you before, you're going to suffer. You might suffer tonight. Do you know I was in a line at Walmart today and I didn't suffer? Now that is a newsflash. I had to return something. There's only two people in front of me. And I got up there with no problem. Of course, when I got there, I was there about 30 minutes, but at least I had somebody waiting on me pretty quickly. No temptation. And that word temptation would be better translated, testing. No testing has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. If you're at that verse, underline that. That's what He wants us to learn. He is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able, what you're able to bear. It's not going to happen. He won't allow it. But with the testing, we'll provide a way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Mighty promise right there. Sometimes we just want to say, I can't take any more. Yes, you can. If you're in fellowship, you can. Every school has occasional tests or examinations to determine the progress of the student. These are sometimes dreaded, but are indispensable. We sometimes complain under trial. Listen to this. This is why we complain under trial. Because we do not see the need. That means we don't see the need of why we need to be tested. Or the reward. What we want to do is say, well, I don't know why this has to happen to me. I didn't do anything to bring this on. We don't understand the need. We don't understand the reward. What's waiting for us every time that we're tested? Reward. Blessing. But God says, and here's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. I don't know if we'll get through all this, but we'll at least wade into a little of it here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living what? Hope, which means confidence. A living confidence. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So if we truly believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, our confidence is in Him, and since we believe He is living, that hope is living. Now, look at this. To obtain what? An inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, that's substantiating what I've been telling you. Where is this inheritance? What does it say it is? It's in heaven, right? Do we worry about somebody losing it up there? Or if they have a heavenly toxic spill, it might get on our inheritance? Is it going to wear out? Is it going to rust? Is it going to tarnish? You have to worry about somebody stealing it? Everybody's so worried about their portfolio. What happens to portfolios? What does the Bible say that happens to money? It sprouts wings and flies away. And see, this is a very conservative, pious bunch. Because there are a lot of churches that would amen the roof off of that one. Caused us to be born again, and then it qualifies that to a living hope, the resurrection of God. But if you take that out like as if it was parenthetical, it would read, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to obtain that inheritance. You see that? We're not just born again to stay on this life. Why are we still here? We're born again. We're not, any of us are not going to be any more saved than we are right now, are we? In fact, some people would think we were probably more saved when we first believed than we are now if you just took a look at our life between now and then. Angel Martinez was a tremendous evangelist. He came to West End Baptist Church one time and he told everybody, he had a 45 up there on the pulpit. And he said, if you don't believe in eternal security and you've accepted the gospel tonight, the best thing I could do, and he picked the gun up and he says, is blow your brains out when you come forward. They had an altar call. See? Now that is not a way to solicit people to respond to an altar call. But he wasn't worried about that. And the people are thinking, oh, what? He said, that's the only way you can be assured that you're going to heaven. I mean, you're not going to be any more saved than you are right then. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. You just got it. So if you came up here, and if there was no eternal life, then if you came up here and I blew your brains out, that would be the best thing I could do for you. And so what I'm trying to show you is that in this verse 3, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again. Now this is just parenthetical. It's just giving you more information about this being born again. To obtain an inheritance. You see that? This is all one sentence here. So we are born again. The one purpose that we were born again is to glorify God. And we can't glorify God if we're going to forget Him and His Word and just do everything our way and fall into 1,000 pieces. No, He wants us to be strong to glorify Him, and He wants us to receive an inheritance. He's created the inheritance already for us, and now He's doing everything, made everything available. What was our phrase? Who has qualified us to share the inheritance? He's qualified us. All the qualification He meets if we will just sign on. If you want that inheritance in full, then He's going to provide the means. He's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the endurance that you need for the rest of your life to do that. What do you add to the mix? Positive volition. That desire. You've got to want it. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved for you, reserved in heaven for you. Now, we'll just start this, then I'm going to have to end it. Verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God. Are y'all at this verse? Do you have your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 3? Because when I turn this screen off, this is just going to be a vague memory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because if you write little notes in your Bible and you highlight and you star and you make these notations, then when you go this way again, aha, now I remember what he said. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and it will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. Now, I want you to notice this says who. It doesn't. What's protected here is not referring to the inheritance itself. It is imperishable and undefiled, but it's we, us believers, who are protected by the power of God through faith. Are you with me now? We're protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What is that talking about? What salvation? Let me ask you something. Does your eternal salvation have to be protected? Huh? No. That's a done deal, isn't it? So this salvation isn't salvific. It's not talking about eternal salvation. It's talking about the deliverance that we all need. Remember I said every believer, after they're saved, needs salvation. They need to be delivered. And we are protected by the power of God. We can't deliver ourselves. Post-salvation I'm talking about. We have to have faith. We have to believe God's Word that He is going to deliver us from a wasted life. That He's going to deliver us from all the misery and self-induced suffering that we would bring on ourselves and all the guilt and all the confusion. He's going to deliver us from all that by His power, to be revealed in the last time. I'm just about out of time. And when I'm talking about the last time. What time is that referring to? Look, listen to it again. Let's go over it again. To obtain an inheritance. Drop down to verse 5. Reserved in heaven for you. Who are protected. We are protected by the power of God. Through faith. We have to believe it. If we don't believe it, it doesn't apply to us. We're not going to remember any doctrine. It's not important to us. It just sloughs off. For a salvation, a deliverance, and this deliverance is ready to be revealed in the last time. No. It's talking about the second advent. When is Jesus Christ going to come out of the glory and He's going to be revealed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When is that going to take place? The second advent. That's what's going to be so glorious. The whole world is going to see His glory at that time. And who's coming with Him? We are. For a salvation, a deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, I don't have time to finish that. But I think you got enough on your plate for tonight to chew on. An inheritance protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance. Only believers like yourself who are continuing to build on the confidence you already have from the doctrine that you have learned. If you keep on building on that confidence and you don't let it go and you don't get distracted and you don't give up, then someday that deliverance is going to shine when you are behind Jesus Christ when He is revealed from heaven, second advent. See, I said I used a lot of technical terms in here, and I think and I hope all of you were right with me. But if I was trying to teach some this, and somebody said, "Well, what's the second advent?" Well, what would that mean? I'd have to go and teach them eschatology and all about the second advent. But y'all aren't beginners, so I don't have to do that. But aren't you glad that you can sink your teeth into these promises? That you know that you have an inheritance that is undefiled and will not fade away. God gives you the power to endure. And if you endure, then you can look forward to what glory and blessings, even being revealed with Christ at the second advent. I don't know how you can get grander than that. But we are out of time, so let's close. Father, thank You for this time You've given us, for the opportunity for us to see, because of Your revelation, what lies beyond our sight. That we can get a glimpse of glory through Your Word that motivates us to endure suffering, to keep from being distracted and keep our eyes on the prize. And we pray that You will help us to meditate on these things, not just here, but as we go through the daily grind, and we will apply this to our circumstances. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.